Matthew chapter 5 this evening. We started a number of weeks ago, actually started a while ago, and then we got interrupted for about 3 weeks. But I started a series on the Beatitudes. These are found in the book of Matthew chapter 5. They're part of the Sermon on the Mount. They're actually the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus is addressing these issues. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those that mourn. Because he's dealing with the religious attitude of the day. He's dealing with the pride and the pompous attitude that these Pharisees and scribes had, especially when it came to people who were in need, people who were in spiritual need. I'm talking about they looked down upon those, and it bothered Jesus. You could tell the Pharisees bothered Jesus. He's always like, "You broad vipers, you know, who warned you of the wrath?" You know, actually, it was John Baptist, but you know, getting in their face a lot of times. And he's dealing with that because it's easy to get self-righteous. How many know that? It just is. If you don't know that, then you probably are self-righteous. But anyway, it's like, how many know those people that annoy them because they're super spiritual, right? And if you don't know somebody like that, maybe it's because it's you. But anyway, Jesus is dealing with the attitude of the Pharisees. And we're going to look at the next one because I believe this one is really important when it comes to that. And it's the issue of meekness. Matthew 5:5, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Now, when people talk about meekness, immediately the thought there is weakness. Like, just turn that M upside down. There's a great little picture on the internet, and it was this shop that was, and their sign was "Mom Entertainment," and you could tell. And so the what was under "Mom Entertainment" was this little letter that just said, "You idiots." Signed, "Wow Entertainment." They turned this sign upside down. That's what a lot of people do with the thought of meek. They turn that M upside down and think it's weak. The thought that is often behind it is this gentle, humble doormat of a personality. That somehow in meekness, there's the thought there that, you know what, just spineless, just this jellyfish of a person. They have no ability. And so somehow if you have some spine, if you have some spirit, if you have some actual attitude, then that's seen as, well, I guess you're not being meek. And that's a total misunderstanding of what the word literally means. Now, as Adam Clark said, yes, he wrote of this scripture. He says, an easy spirit, those who are quiet and gentle, in opposition to the proud and superfluous scribes and Pharisees and their disciples. The thought there is, yes, in that sense, it would be a bit opposite of the proud and the arrogant. But it is not talking about being spineless and being weak. This is actually the only one of the blesseds that is actually quoted anywhere else. And it was quoted or written long before Jesus was born in Bethlehem. Psalm 73 verse 11. But the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. What this word literally means is not spineless or weak. It is actually power under control. That's what it's really talking about. It's not talking about someone who is I don't have an opinion, I don't know, like somebody on their first date. Right? I like football, especially when they shoot. You know, it's like, right? Oh, I like ballet, especially when the guy comes out and sings it. Oh, you know. But it is someone who is not first full of their own opinion. We live in a day when everybody's opinion is supposed to be matter. You know what? Some people's opinions don't matter on some issues. But because we have talk radio, any idiot can call up an 800 number and express their opinion and think that they've got it all figured out. You know, the problem with geopolitical politics is it's very complicated. It's very complicated. There are, 200 and something nations in the world. And you know what? A one size foreign policy of a nation does not fit all. I've been kind of fascinated watching and really enjoying that little Lithuania has ticked off big China. I really love it. If you don't know, if you haven't followed this, a Lithuanian government official told the Lithuanian people to throw away a certain phone. It's got a tracking device that's built right in from the Chinese government. Just throw it away. Get rid of it. And so buy phones from other places made like in Taiwan and different things. And he's made that now China is taking issue with little Lithuania. Little Lithuania is a little bit less than 3 million people. In China, that's called a village. Yeah. Right? This is like, what are you worried about? But they are. Right? It's complicated, but people think, oh, you know what? They, Pharisees were full of their own opinions. Right? You look at some of their things that they do to Jesus, they're trying to trick him, they're trying to trap him, they're trying to get him, they're trying to get, always just full of themselves. Jesus said in Matthew 11:29, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and in me you shall find rest for your souls. This was so contrary to the religion of the day. And he says, I'm gentle. Let me ask you a couple of questions that meekness would be seen at. Can you allow yourself to be wrong? When you are? That's part of meekness. Would you ever admit it? This is a problem sometimes in marriages. A spouse knows they're wrong. They finally figure out they're wrong, but they still won't admit it. And they do it because they think, you know what? If I admit I'm wrong, they're going to say everything I've done is wrong. That's not necessarily true. So what do? They attack. Well, you know what? I may have done that, but you did. And on becomes World War XIV. This is seen in people who make statements and never ask questions. You know what you should do? Yeah, probably walk away right now. But anyway, instead of asking a question, you know, why don't we do? Jesus was a perfect picture of meekness. In Philippians 2, verse 3, it says, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem another better than himself. It goes on to say in verses 5 and 6, let this mind be in you which is in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. That he considered he was God, but he didn't come on in the scene and go, hey, everybody, look, hey, I'm God, you're not, just to let you know. It's the way it's going to be around here, because I'm God. He didn't do that. He came as a lowly. He rode on a donkey. That was a prophecy, Matthew chapter 21. You know, kings didn't ride on donkeys. They rode on horses. Peasants rode on donkeys. A meek person is someone who's willing to serve, to do that which may not make the spotlight or may not be in the glorious title or whatever you might get. Just somebody who wants to serve. That's part of meekness. You know, I shared the story, but when we were working on the Prescott building, I'd show up early and for church and we'd be there and it would be like in the middle of construction, especially when we were rearranging some of the places in the church, reworking the old building. And I remember there was one time we're Pastor Greg and I at 5:45, just before 6 o'clock prayer, we're vacuuming the carpets to get every, you know, fine. And we shut off the carpets, we're winding up the cords, and he goes, "Keith, we're going to make some fine wives someday." Because then it'd be, you know, it's like you gotta be willing to do some of the dirty work sometimes. Philippians 2:7, speaking of Jesus, "But he made himself of no reputation, taking on the form of a bondservant, coming in the likeness of men." Think about what a step down that would have been from being God. My mother was telling me she was listening to Christian radio late at night, which are two alarm bells right there. But anyway, Christian radio can be bad. Late at night can be all the psychos. And so she's telling me, "Oh, I didn't know Jesus came. Joseph was rich." So to appease the Catholics, what they've said now is that Joseph, this just made me laugh, that Joseph was actually a widow and he had kids. This is why Jesus had some brothers. This is a new one. I hadn't heard this one. I thought, that's fascinating. You're going to make up doctrine, at least make it good. You know what I mean? Like, make it entertaining. If you're going to make it up, it better be good. It's like, it better be as good as a Clancy novel or, you know, Grisham novel or something, because it's the same fake story. But anyway, and that he was wealthy. And she goes, "What do you think about that?" I'm like, "Well, you know, the sacrifice they gave in the temple told me that they were poor, two turtle doves. That's the sacrifice of the poor, not the rich." He might have got a little bit of money when they dropped off the gold, frankincense, and myrrh, but he was born poor. Not exactly what he probably was used to. But that's meekness. Mark 10:44-45, "And whosoever desires to be first shall be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to serve, to be served, but to serve, and to give his life ransom for many." A meek person also knows their place. Many who don't trust in God need to fix things themselves. I can't, you know, you got to learn you can't fix everything. I made the statement, you know what? Holy Spirit, it's above my pay grade. It's above yours too. And if you really believe that, why do you keep trying to fix everybody? Leave it to him. He's the fixer. A.W. Tozer wrote this. He said, "A meek man is not a human mouse afflicted with a sense of his own inferiority. Rather, he is maybe a mortal life, as bold as a lion and as strong as Samson. But he has stopped from being fooled about himself. He has accepted God's estimation of his own life. He knows that he is weak and helpless as God has declared him to be. But paradoxically, he knows at the same time he is in the sight of God more important than angels. In himself he is nothing, in God everything. That is his motto. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 10:1, "Now I, Paul, myself, am pleading with you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who is present, I am lowly among you, but being absent, I am bold towards you." Daniel is an amazing man. You think about him, where he serves Nebuchadnezzar and then his son, Belshazzar. And Belshazzar has a party one day with the utensils from the temple, and he's partying with those, and his, finger comes out, writes on the wall, and he says, "You know what? Whoever can interpret this, they're going to be promoted in the kingdom. They're going to get gold chains." And his wife, the queen, says, "You know what? We've got Daniel." And she says of Daniel, Daniel 5:12, "Insomuch as an excellent spirit, knowledge, understanding, interpretation of dreams, solving riddles, and explaining enigmas." And they found this in Daniel, whom the king named Belshazzar. Now Daniel was called, and that he would give the interpretation. That the thought, God writes on the wall, says, "You know what, who's Daniel? We get him. He's meek. He comes, he does, someone else is singing his praise." That's another mark of meekness. Is not, you don't have to go around trumpeting your own goodness all the time. But others do that. But the understanding here, Daniel comes. Now, that night, the king is killed. The Medes come in, they attack. They would normally kill all the government officials, but they don't kill Daniel. They saw something in him, the meekness that was of value. So, you know, can you admit, marks of meek, can you admit when you're wrong? Can you say, "You know what? I got to deal with this." One man said, "Apologies aren't meant to change the past. They're meant to change the future." Matthew 5:23, "Therefore, if you bring a gift to the altar and remember that your brother has something against you, leave the gift before the altar, go your way, and first be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift." But see, unmeek people, full of pride, will never admit they're wrong. Right? Jonah. Jonah wouldn't admit he's wrong. "Jonah, why are you mad that the city of Nineveh repented?" "Well, I knew they would, Lord. I just, you know, heathen scumbags. They just, you know." God grows him a tree, gives him shade. The tree dies. He's mad. "So how come you're more mad at the tree?" "Well, I have a right to be mad." Fully won't admit, like, "You know what? I was just being stupid." I think he did later. That's why we have the book of Jonah. That detailed conversation that he had on a mountainside. I don't know. God could have told someone else it, but I think Jonah wrote it. So I think he did get his heart right later. But he really missed the issue. Listen to his prayer. Jonah 4:3-4. "Therefore, Lord, take my life from me now. It's better that I may die than to live." And the Lord said, "Is it right for you to be angry forever? The branch of my planting, the work of my hands, that I may be glorified?" This is Jonah. He won't admit it. The Pharisees wouldn't admit they were wrong. Who do you say John the Baptist? Well, Jesus asked, "Who do you say John the Baptist?" "Well, you know what? If we say he was from God, he'll ask us why we didn't believe him. If we say he wasn't from God, the people will get mad. We don't know." They knew. They were well aware, but they've been in their pride. "No, I ain't admitting it." Can you endure wrongs? Or do you have to lash back? Some people, they're so sensitive today. Now, this has to do with rejection. This has to do with all sorts of things. But people take things so flaming personal now. The outraged generation. Everybody is outraged about everything, and eating themselves and destroying everything. You know, my wife and I were having a little discussion. We heard this story. I don't know if you heard about it in Connecticut. A JV Catholic school basketball team, girls basketball team, JV, beat another Catholic school, the girls basketball team, 96-4. And some people were saying, well, they should have stopped. I'm like, I don't know. Right? Why, you know, oh, well, we should have thought about the girls. Maybe some of them needed to end their WNBA dreams right there. Maybe this was one of the greatest favors that anyone ever did for them in their entire lives. Right? The Olympic team's not calling, okay? It's time to move on and maybe think about your education. Right? Oh, well, you know. And I don't know if he kept his five best players in there the whole game. Maybe that would be uncalled for. Maybe he could have used some of the deeper bench, like, I don't know, the water girl or something. I don't know, you know. Maybe we could have got these three out there to help. I don't know, you know what I mean, but whatever it could have been. But this is the thought is, you know what? People are so easily offended. You will be misunderstood in life. Did you know that? You will be criticized. You will be second-guessed. And some people, they just can't handle that. Well, my intentions weren't wrong. I'm going to show them. I'm going to hear. Oh, really? Why? That's not meek. Listen to meek, Isaiah 53 and verse 7. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, and yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and a sheep before the shears is silent, so he opened not his mouth. That's a picture of meek. Don't have to give everybody an attitude. Because the meek will allow life to play out. 1 Corinthians says, therefore judge nothing before its time, but when the Lord comes, who will bring light the hidden things of darkness and reveal the counsels of the heart, then each one's praise will come from God. It was General Peter Pace, he was a Marine, he was in the Joint Chiefs of Staff for many years. He made this speech. He said, when I was in Vietnam, where I almost made my most serious mistake, we had been on patrol and a young Marine, Lance Corporal Gildo Fenaro, a 19-year-old from Bethpage, New York, which is down on Long Island, was killed by a sniper. The bullet came from a nearby village. I was the platoon leader and he was my machine gun squad leader. I was enraged. I called an artillery strike to get that sniper. Then I looked to the right and I saw 21-year-old Sergeant Reed B. Zachary. He did not say anything. He just simply looked at me and I knew what I was about to do was wrong. I called off the artillery strike and we swept the village, as I should have done in the first place. We found nothing but women and children. The sniper was long gone. I don't know that I could have lived with myself had I done what I originally planned to do. I don't think I would be standing in front of you today. I almost allowed rage of a moment to overcome what I thought was a substantial thinking about those who were going to be in combat. After this event, and this is where meekness is seen, after this event, I called my platoon together in a little bombed out crater and I apologized to them. I told them that if it had not been for Sergeant Zachary, I probably would have not made the right decision. Reacting to the platoon was amazement. They were warm, friendly, and responsive. And I learned that a leader admitting his mistakes and thanking those who point them out to his or her, him or her, is really important. That's meekness. That's a great picture of meekness. It's not a doormat. He went on to be a general, part of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. But it's not. Not, but it's someone who can admit this. This is why Jesus says that they will be the ones to inherit the earth. The earth could be translated the land. We call earth, dirt, the land, however you want to say it. But the thought there is inheritance. That God has a place for you. This has to do with dominion. This has to do with blessing. This has to do with your future. Isaiah 60 and verse 21, "And also my people shall be righteous, and they shall inherit the land forever. The branch of my planting, the work of my hands, that I may be glorified." Some think, well, they'll inherit the earth. This is, you know, well, it'll be the 1,000-year reign of Christ. And there may be something to that that we'll look here. But this tells us that first and foremost, the meek have a future. The blessing of God. God notes those with that kind of attitude. Pharisees come and go. But the meek, they're the ones with the future. They're the ones who get the blessing. 1 Peter 3:8-9, "Finally, all of you, be of one mind, have compassion for one another, love as brothers, be tender-hearted, be curious, not returning evil for evil, or railing for railing, but contrary blessing, knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing." God wants to bless our lives. And he looks at our attitude and our actions. Picture of meekness brings blessing. The dominion, the blessing, the favor, the future that God has for us. He really wants to help you in this life right now. That's what God says. It's these kind of people that I can help, I can move for, I can bless. And not only that, I do believe there is a measure of this scripture that is talking about the future. The 1,000-year reign of Christ, the kingdom of God. You know, this place is a dress rehearsal. I talked about judgment a little bit this morning. In the sense, too, that it can be for good. There's going to be people who are judged, who may have never done anything, if you will, extraordinary, but their spirit so pleased God that he's going to put them in a place in the kingdom where they are blessed and a blessing. Revelation 1:6, "And he has made us to be kings and priests to his God and Father. To him be glory, dominion forever and ever." 2 Peter 3:13, "Nevertheless, we according to his promise look for the new heavens and the new earth in which righteousness does dwell." There is a measure there that God has something for us beyond this life. And that those who have gone before us, those who were saved and loved God, they've entered into, many times we'll call it their reward. But part of their reward is this thought that they're going to inherit blessing and place in the kingdom of God. And when Jesus comes back, and there's lots there, and I don't want to get bogged down in that, this, that future and thought that God is going, you know, you want a good government, we're going to get one. It's not an elected government. It's coming, called the 1,000-year reign of Christ. And some of you are going to be in it. Some of you are going to be priests, and we're going to, you know, and it's going to work that way. But also is the thought of the inheritance now. That God looks at a meek spirit like that and he says, there's someone I can help. There's someone I can move through. There's someone I can bless. Because it's someone like that, not full of themselves, but willing to yield, I can move through. And so, in this study, it's very interesting. Realize that each one of these, as Jesus is putting these out there, is exactly the opposite of what the religious world was at that day. They considered themselves to be rich. They considered themselves to be, you know, happy and all. They, you know, they missed the whole point of what Jesus is talking about. But this spirit of meekness, it gives strength, not weakness, to you and I as believers. And that is something that we desperately, desperately need. Let's bow our heads for just a moment. You're here this evening, you're not right with God, you're not saved, or you're backslidden. I'm not going to hold this too much, too long, but if that's you and you're not right with God, God has convicted you today, you need to get your heart right. I wonder if you'd slip up your hand. Pray for me. Anyone at all? Very quickly. We're going to move on. Just a moment. The thought of meekness, this is one of, you know, as I've just gotten into this study even a little bit more and more, of these attitudes, the Beatitudes, the blessed attitudes, meekness. It's just one that just struck me as just, this is not weakness. It is something of a high value. And let me just add this, that where God says to the wives, you know, don't let your values merely be of the putting on of jewelry and the makeup. Let it be of the hidden spirit of the heart of gentleness and quietness. It's talking about meekness. And that in, it's a very attractive character is what he's talking about there. That there are women, they're beautiful on the outside, but they are dangerous from the inside. And he's saying here that a wife like that, and thank God we have quite a few like that around here. And it's a very attractive character and quality, not just for the ladies, but for all believers. But that's what that's talking about, that you'll inherit the earth. That there's something about that that opens doors and gives us a great future in Christ. Let's all stand. These altars are open. We're going to allow people to find a place to pray, talk to God, worship His name. What song?
Ends of the Earth.
Ends of the Earth.
Love unfailing, overtaking my heart. You take me in, finding peace again. Fear is lost in all you are. I would give the world to tell your story. I know that you've called me. I know that you've called me. Lost myself for good within your promise. I won't hide it. I won't hide it. Cause I believe in you. I would go to the ends of the earth. To the ends of the earth. For you alone are the Son of God. And all the world will see that you are God, you are God. Love unfailing, overtaking my heart. You take me in, finding peace again. Fear is lost in all you are. give the world to tell your story. But I know that you call me. I know that you call me. I lost myself for good within your promise. And I won't hide it. I won't hide it. Jesus, I believe in you. I would go to the ends of the earth. To the ends of the earth. For you alone are the Son of God. And all the world will see you are God. Oh, let's give him praise and worship him tonight. Father, we thank you, God. We love you. We glorify you. Oh, ra 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 bo 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 re be 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 see. Oh, thank God.